Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Ma'am Loewes. This is Shir number 74. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 500 Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 141, Pasuk 1. Mizmor leDavid Hashem k'rasicha chusha li ha'azino koli b'kori lach. A psalm of David, Lord, I have called to you, make haste to me, give ear to my voice when I call to you. In the present psalm, David asks of Hashem to safeguard him from sinning with his tongue. Let him not be like the man of evil tongue about whom he spoke in the previous psalm. Nor let him sin in thought, nor sin by his deeds. He begins with the plea, Hashem, I have called to you, make haste to me, as I have hastened to you. How is it that haste to be expressed? Give ear to my voice at once. When I call to you, do not delay responding to my plea. The Midrash says, just as I hasten to implement your words, so make haste to me. To what can this be compared? Compare it to one who stood for judgment before the ruler of the land. Noticing that everyone else had a defender, he called out to the ruler, I ask of you, everyone must have a defending attorney of his own. I have no defender. Be you both judge and defender. Similarly, David said, some trust in their fine, upstanding deeds, while others trust in the deeds of their forefathers. But I trust in you, even though I have no good deeds. Answer me, because I have called to you. This means that the righteous are like family members round about the king. Thus he asks that the upright shall dwell in your presence. They should be like members of his household. When the son sins against his father, he can say things that another could not say. As David says here, Hashem, I have called to you, make haste to me. David also asked of Hashem to give ear to his inner voice whenever he calls. For his entire purpose and intention is to call in the name of Hashem. He does not ask for any personal benefit. Pasuk 2. Tikon tefilasi ketores lefanecho maf as kapai minchas oref. Let my prayer be established before you like an incense offering, the lifting up of my hands like an evening offering. The singer entreats that my prayer be welcomed on high like an incense offering, which is the most precious of all the offerings, as it says, they will put incense before you. Pasuk found the Chumash Devarim. The singer says further, I pray that the lifting up of my hands be welcomed like an evening offering. This refers to the very last daily offering, which was the most welcome of all the offerings. Possibly Minchas Erev refers to the afternoon Mincha prayer, which is particularly desirable and welcome. Thus our sages teach that a man should always be careful about the Mincha prayer. Another possible interpretation is that this refers to the evening prayer. The Torah says, better is a handful of satisfaction than two fistfuls of toil and vexation of the spirit, a pasuk that's found in Koheles. Better is a little prayer with devout concentration, the uplifting of my hands, than a fistful, much prayer lacking in devout concentration. The incense offering is not offered for any sin, and hence David asks that his prayer be welcomed like an incense offering. More specifically, he asks that his prayer be established like the incense offering, which is brought regularly in the morning as a bearing of my hands, masas kapai, as it says, in his hands full of sweet incense. A pasuk is found in Chumash Vayikra. Some read orev as sweet, as in, then will the offering of Yehuda and Shlaim be pleasantly sweet, orva to Hashem. A pasuk that's found in Malachi. Since the incense offering is immediately accompanied by a column of smoke, the singer says similarly, make haste, as we learned in the previous pasuk. What is more, just as the incense offering is offered out of gladness, as it says in Mishlei, ointment and incense rejoice the heart, so it's also for prayer. One should not stand in prayer out of melancholy, but out of the joy in the performance of a mitzvah. Let my prayer be established before you like an incense offering. Even when my prayers are mixed with personal motives and alien thoughts, welcome them nonetheless. For the incense offering too includes in its blend the foul-smelling frankincense, yet this offering extended as a pleasing aroma to Hashem. Said Rabbi Chelbo, at all times should a man pray the Mincha prayer. Thus Eliyahu was answered only during the Mincha prayer, as it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the Mincha sacrifice that Eliyahu the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yisrael, hear me, O Hashem, hear me. A pasuk that's found in Melachim Aleph. Rabbi Yosei said, this also holds true for the evening prayer, as it says, let my prayer be established before you, the lifting up of my hands like an evening offering. Pasuk 3, Shisa Hashem Shamra Lefi Nitzra Aldaus Fosai. Set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth, keep a watch at the door of my lips. Here the singer treats the Almighty not to let him commit transgression in any of the three ways transgression is possible: in thought, in speech, and in deed. To begin with, he says, set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth, so no forbidden speech will issue. Keep a watch at the door of my lips, so no forbidden speech will issue. Thus the Targum translates Daos Fosai as setting my lips upright. There is a similar expression in Yeshayahu. Sefer Yeshayahu, my eyes fail by looking upwards. Dolo Lamorum. David, please, set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth, so I may not fail in my prayer. Even as my heart is right before you, so may my prayer be right. For it says, the thoughts of the heart are a man's own, but from Hashem comes the utterance of the tongue, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Prayer must be uttered with care and be well defined. Otherwise, a prayer improperly uttered can bring about bad effects. David thus actually asked here for two things. One, he asked to be safeguarded from any tinge of evil talk, since no man is immune from this transgression daily. Secondly, he asked not to stumble in speech. His prayer should be fluent in his mouth. Thus he says, when I exalt my lips in prayer, set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth, that I should not stumble. The singer has likened prayer to a meal offering. Just as this offering is brought in a pure vessel, so must the mouth, the vessel for prayer, be purified of all imperfection. Pasuk 4. Al tat libi ledavaro lis olel alilos beresha es ishim poale oven uval elcham deman amehem. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to perform evil deeds with men who practice iniquity. And let me not eat bread of their feasts, partake of their dainties. Having asked for help not to commit transgression through speech, the singer now asks for help not to sin in thought. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Indeed, safeguard me not only from transgression in thought, but keep me from putting the thought into action. To perform evil deeds with men who practice iniquity. Nor let my heart be drawn to partake of their dainties. Let me not lust after the pleasures of this world, unlike those whose hearts have been so enticed. Even a single mouthful can draw me towards them. So I am careful not to eat of their feast, but to cleave only to the righteous. The present pasuk may also be understood with reference to an apparent contradiction in the words of our sages. In one place they say, one should speak only part of a man's praises in his presence. Elsewhere they say, a man is not to speak the praises of his friend, for in uttering his praises he will also come to say negative things about him. The resolution of this difficulty is that one should not say anything in praise of another in the presence of his enemies. When there are no enemies about, however, he may praise his friend. That is what David says here. Set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth. Keep a watch at the door of my lips. Not even to speak in praise of my friend. Do not incline my heart to speak evil of my friends. That's why it says, the pasuk says, the davar ra, to perform evil deeds. For men who practice iniquity are about. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. David found it necessary to appeal on behalf of his heart, for as our sages teach, the eyes have a covering, eyelids, but not so the heart, which is open. Thus the Torah likens the sea to the heart, as in the expression, in the heart of the sea. For just as the sea is wide open, exposed, so is the heart. Some explain that David turns to his heart and says, before I ask of Hashem to set a guard, O Hashem, to my mouth, you, my heart, do not incline to any evil thing to perform evil deeds. For as long as I set my heart partially to indulge in murmurings, I am unable to direct my heart to my Father in heaven. The Pesikta teaches, do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, a king made a feast and asked his son if he wished to eat with his guest. The son declined the invitation, explaining, I want to eat with you alone. Similarly, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, my children, do you desire to dine with the nations of the world? Do they want to receive the same kind of reward accorded to the nations? They replied, Master of the world, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to perform evil deeds with men who practice iniquity. So he said to them, do you then decline to eat with them because they commit iniquity? They said, Master of the world, let me not eat bread of their feasts. We do not desire their beautiful and savory portions. The only thing we want is to partake of your beautiful and savory portions. Pasuk 5. Yehelmeni tzadik chesed yochicheni shemen rosh al yoni roshi ki od usfilasi bero osehem. Let the righteous strike me in kindness and let him rebuke me. It shall be as oil on my head. Let my head not refuse it, for my prayer continues against their evils. The Torah speaks in praise of admonition given by the tzaddik. His rebuke is more pleasant than the dainty foods of the wicked, as we learned in the previous pasuk. Thus the singer says, let the righteous strike me in kindness and let him rebuke me. I will relish his admonition as something sweet and consider it a kindness on his part. Instead of breaking my head, his blow of rebuke shall be as oil on my head. Fine ointment is put on the wound for healing. For my prayer continues against their evils. If you will help me and accept my prayer, that will be to the detriment of the wicked. Should you even strike me a very great blow, as with a heavy hammer, I welcome it with love, for it is an act of loving kindness. Oil on my head symbolizes Torah learning. The tzaddik admonishes me not to deprive my soul of its nourishment, the oil of Torah. My prayer continues against their evils. As long as I live, I pray that the transgression of the sinners cease. I do not pray that the sinners themselves cease to exist. Another interpretation says, my prayer continues that I should not become entangled in their evils. Some explain that David also refers to his anointment by the prophet Shemuel. He says, may the oil on my head that Shemuel anointed me with not cause me to deprive my head of the blows of rebuke by the righteous. Let my head not refuse it. Pasuk 6. Nishmatu videi sela shoftehem v'shomu amorai kino emu. Their judges be cast down from the rock, then they will hear my utterances which are pleasant. After their judges perish, they will receive admonition. For not admonishing the people, let their judges be cast down from the rock upon which they sit in judgment. For then they will hear my utterances which are pleasant. The singer complains, there are no judges on earth before whom one can come to complain. It is as if their judges are cast down from the rock. If authentic judges could be found, they would hear my utterances which are pleasant. Moshe and Aaron were punished because they had become angry, so the Jews would have accepted their words much more readily in softer language. Thus the Torah says here, their judges be cast down from the rock. The reason then they will hear my utterances which are pleasant. The Jews would also have heeded pleasant words. Pasuk 7. Kemo foleyach ufokeya ba'oretz nivzeru atzomenu lefish ol. As when one cleaves and breaks up the earth, so our bones are scattered at the mouth of the pit, Sheol. The Torah depicts our many troubles at the hands of the wicked who distress us. As when one cleaves trees and the pieces scatter, so our bones are scattered at the mouth of the pit. We come close to being exterminated. David also speaks about his own men who were hunted and persecuted together with him. A subtle interpretation says, then they will hear my words, which are pleasant. If when addressing the public, one intends to say only pleasant things in order to be honored, his words will not make an impression. They are like the words of one who cleaves wood and breaks up the earth. Instead of striking the wood, he sinks the axe into the ground. His cleaving accomplishes nothing at all. Simply such speech accomplishes nothing. Pasuk 8. Ki alecha Hashem Elokim einoi b'chol chasisi al ta'ar nafshi. For my eyes are towards you, Lord Hashem, I have taken refuge in you. Do not pour away my soul. Evil men want to kill him. So David says, for my eyes are towards you, Lord Hashem. I have taken refuge in you because I have placed my trust in you. Do not pour away my soul out of my body. Keep it safe within my body. Pasuk 9. Shamreini midei fach yokshuli umokshos po'alei oven. Guard me from the snare which they have laid for me and from the traps of those who commit iniquity. David, please, guard me from the snare which those of my own people have laid for me, and guard me also from the traps of those from other nations. Pasuk 10. Yiplu b'machmora v'shoim yachad anochi ad e'avor. Let the wicked fall into their own nets together while until I pass through. It is not enough that you should save me from their traps. Let the wicked fall into their own nets which they set up to trap me. They will fall into their own snares, and then I will forever pass through. Securely I will never stumble and not be harmed by them or others like them. Chapter 142, Pasuk 1. Maskil David Yosol Bam Orat Tefilam. A maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. David composes psalm when hiding from Shaul in the cave. He offered a prayer for Hashem to bring him out of the cave safely. Thus it says, Shaul went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats, and David and his men remained in the back of the cave as found in Shmuel Aleph. David composed Psalm 57 when fleeing into the cave, and he chanted the present psalm while inside the cave. The Medrash says, Shlomo said, the name of Hashem is a strong tower, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. When the righteous are beset by trouble, they do not turn anywhere except to Hashem. Thus we find that when David hid out in the Judean wilderness, he spoke of no one but the Almighty. In the course of every trouble that befell him, he placed his trust in Hashem. When hiding in the cave, he called out only to Hashem, as it says, a maskil of David when he was in the cave. What is a maskil, enlightenment of David? When Shaul and David were both in the same cave, as found in Shmuel Aleph, David came to the convincing realization that a man's money does not stand by him, nor his wisdom, nor his might. The only thing to stand by him is his prayer. David was enlightened. He then knew that for him there was no other good but to praise Hashem. Wherever in the Torah it says maskil, it means that this was spoken in the speaker's name by an announcer. This is not applied to the present case, since in the cave David prayed by himself. It means rather that he was instructed and enlightened about the power of prayer. Later, Shlomo learned this from his father. Usually, when troubles afflict the person, he becomes distraught and loses his desire to live. But here, instead, David was enlightened when he was in the cave. He came to know that even if a sharpened sword is pressed against one's throat, one must not despair of divine compassion. Hence, he offered a prayer. It's also a prayer for the exiled Jewish people in the future. They will be locked into exile as in a cave. Pasuk 2. Kol Yel Hashem Ezor, Kol Yel Hashem Ezchanan. With my voice I cry to Hashem, and my voice I beseech Hashem. My prayer is as the cry of a man who weeps and cries out in distress. With my voice I beseech Hashem. My prayer is full of entreaty, like a man pleading with another man who can bring him deliverance. There are two different kinds of protests in response to suffering. When a man deserves the suffering that besets him, he besieges. He does not cry out, but if he suffers unjustly, he cries out. Here the singer says, "With my voice I cry out to Hashem, against my enemies who wrong me unjustly. However, with the voice I also beseech to Hashem about my deserved suffering. With my voice, the voice that was the special gift accorded to the tribe of Yehuda," as it says, "and this is the blessing of Yehuda." And he said, "Hear, O Hashem, the voice of Yehuda." Pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. "I cry to Hashem, let this voice extend before you to accomplish its mission." Keeping with the teaching that this voice was granted only to the house of David, David says, "With my voice I beseech Hashem." Pasuk 3. Eshpoch lefanov sichi tzorosi lefanov agi. I pour forth my utterance, my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. I pray abundantly and with entreaty, like a man pouring water. Although Hashem knows my distress, I declare my trouble before him, for in the telling I become inspired. The Medrash says, "Thus do the righteous recount their troubles before Hashem." And so the Torah says, "The prayer of the afflicted man, when he swoons and pours forth his utterance before Hashem." The Mechana says, "For out of the greatness of my complaint and grief have I been speaking," as found in Shmuel Aleph. Accordingly, it says here, "I pour forth my utterance, my complaint before him." And Hashem responds, "Cast your burden upon Hashem, and he will sustain you." Pasuk 4. Atev olai ruchi v'ato yodato nisivasi bo ratzu ahalech tamnu fachlim. When my spirit faints with me, then you know my path. On this road that I walk, they have hidden a snare for me. What is my trouble? My body then enfolds, my spirit is distressed and faints. Yet you know that I do not walk an evil road. On this road and every road I walk, they have hidden a snare for me. I pour forth my utterance, my prayer before him. I declare my trouble before him, not simply to make it known, but in order to alleviate my suffering. Thus the singer goes on to say, "When my spirit faints within me, then you know my path. On this road that I walk, they have hidden a snare for me. Although everything is known and revealed, I tell my troubles in order to bring solace to my soul." Pasuk 5. Habet yaminu rei v'eini makir ovad manos mimeni ein dorish anashi. Look on my right hand and see I have no one who knows me. I have nowhere to flee. No one cares for my soul, seeks my life. Look to my right side and see I have no one who knows me and would come to help me. No one cares for my soul, not even a distant friend have I, in whom I could place my trust, no one who would be concerned for my well-being. David tells us that he had three reasons for killing Saul, but insisted, "For one, if I killed Saul, I would be safe from capture. Hence, I would have no one who knows me. Secondly, Saul has so grievously wronged me that I have nowhere to flee any longer for help. Killing him would take me out of this predicament. Thirdly, no one would seek my life." As the pasuk says, "Doresh nafshi." The Torah said that when one comes to kill you, be the first to kill him. If I killed Saul, no one would seek redress for his blood. One who finds himself imprisoned has three possible ways of gaining his freedom. He may find an acquaintance who will obtain his release. He will escape the second way. Three, his friends and relations will intercede for him. Corresponding to the first, the singer says, "To the contrary, I have no one who knows me." Corresponding to the second, he says, "I have nowhere to flee." Corresponding to the third, he says, "No one cares for my soul." His subtle interpretation says, "When on the market day a man travels far, and there meets one of his friends or relations, he will inquire about the other's well-being and family, interest himself in the events of his life, and ask about his livelihood. He will not usually inquire about the condition of the other's spiritual life or in the state of his soul." That is what David says here. "Look on my right hand and see I have no one who knows me. No other person knows what's within me, nor am I myself aware of anything. So it is that I have no one who knows me, and therefore I have cried out to you, Hashem. I have no way to flee. Affliction come in two ways. Either they serve to cleanse us of our sins, or they stir us to plead before Hashem. that he mercifully bring us back to Yerushalayim when we are afflicted by many forms of affliction. That is a test, a sign for us to entreat him in prayer. Compare this to a man chasing a criminal in an attempt to apprehend him. If he approaches the man frontally, the other will turn away to the right or to the left. Instead, he surrounds him on all sides with other pursuers and thus affords him no avenues of escape. That is what it says, many troubles have beset us around about, and we called upon Hashem, our God, for 6:6. Zarakti alech Hashem, or marti ato machzi chalki be'eretz achayim. I have cried out to you, O Hashem, I have said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Because I have no friend or acquaintance, I said I have no one else but you in whom to trust. Therefore I have cried out to you, O Hashem, I have said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. This refers to the land of Israel. That is how he consoled his soul during the height of his troubles. After all, he was still in the land of the living. Anyone with a portion in the land of the living will always find refuge in Hashem. He has someone who knows him. Our sages have expounded that the Torah refers here to the land of Israel, whose dead live, give praise in anticipation of the days of the Mashiach. 6:7. Hakshiva el rinasi kitalosim od hatzilei mirot vaikiyomzu mimenim. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Save me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Because I am brought so very low and helpless, attend to my cry, save me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. You who are almighty can save me. Even if I have no good deeds to my credit, nevertheless attend to my cry, for I am brought very low, and you heed the prayer of the helpless. You who seek the pursued, and save the helpless from him that is too strong for him, and the poor and the needy from him that robs him, save him. Save me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of confinement, give thanks to your name. The righteous will crown your name because of me, when you recompense me in full. Bring my soul out of confinement, David, please. Take it out of this cave, even if I am not deserving of it. Bestow this good upon me, so that I may give thanks to your name. Not only will I then be thankful, but the righteous will crown your name because of me, and give you a great crown, acclaim you as the great king, for they will see that you recompense me in full for being righteous. I ask to be saved, not for the sake of my body, but in order to give thanks to your name. I should pronounce the Gomel Bracha for my having been saved. Then the righteous in the congregation will crown your name because of me, by responding, may Hashem, who has recompensed you with every good, recompense you forever. Midrash says, David was confined in the cave within, and Shaul stood outside by the entrance. Master of the world, David said, please bring my soul out of confinement. Give thanks to your name. The righteous will crown you because of me. When you recompense me in full, accept the crown. Show yourself to be the king, by thus bringing me deliverance. Another interpretation is based on the teaching found in the holy books that a bird placed in a cage cannot sing. Hence, David, please first bring my soul out of confinement, then I'll be able to give thanks to your name. We are now holding by chapter 143, pasuk 1. Mizma l'dov l'Hashem, shmati filosi ha'zino el, tachanunai b'munoscho aneini b'tzitkosecho. Psalm of David, O Lord, hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me according to your righteousness. In the present psalm, David pleads to be saved, not on account of his own merit, but in keeping with the divine promise, O Hashem, hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me according to your righteousness. You made me a promise, so answer me, for you are righteous and upright, and you are seated justice of my claim. Even if I'm devoid of merit, answer me on account of my faith to you. The word b'munoscha is read as my faith in you. Answer me according to the greatness of your faithfulness and your loving kindness. Similarly, Hashem said to Moshe, enough is their faith in having believed in me. The singer declares, speaking for the Jewish people, in your faithfulness, answer me according to your righteousness. Even if we do not possess sufficient merit, answer us in the merit of our desire to be upright and our faith in you. For if it were only within our power, we would serve you perfectly. Do not answer my plea with a promise of deliverance. I will not be content with that. Answer me according to your righteousness. I want a concrete and a genuine answer. Pasuk 2. Again, we're in chapter 143. Do not enter into judgment which you're serving for in your sight. No man living shall be justified. David declares, I ask that you do not punish me for my sins for two reasons. One is that I'm your servant, and it is the way of a master to be merciful towards his servant. Secondly, for in your sight no man living shall be justified. Even the righteous who are called living, when brought to judgment, will not be exonerated. Shlomo Melch said similarly, a king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. A pasuk is found in Mishlei. Hashem knows thoughts in the heart, so who can say on the day of judgment, I am refined of my sins? This pasuk is also explained in accordance with the Torah law, that the seller must incline in favor of the buyer. Thus, when weighing out merchandise, he should give a bit more than exact weight, inclining the scales in favor of the buyer. When, however, he sells a great quantity, the buyer cannot demand that each little measure be inclined in his favor. Rather, he favors the buyer one bit for the entire purchase, which is then proportionally less in his favor. Similarly, the singer pleads, and do not enter into judgment with us. That is with all of us, for in your sight no man living shall be justified, since the advantage in our favor will then be very small. Rather, let my judgment come forth from your presence individually, and then your eyes will behold what is upright. You will find me innocent. Pasuk 3. Ki rodav oyev nafshi di kol oretz chayosi hoshivayei avanim machshakim ben kemesei olam. For the enemy has pursued my soul, he has crushed my life down to the ground, he has made me dwell in dark places like the eternally dead. According to our sages, this alludes to the persecutions we suffered in exile. For the enemy has pursued my soul refers to religious persecutions. They also subjected us to harsh toil, make me dwell in dark places, so I could not occupy myself with Torah study. They deprived us of study, which is a light, and each mitzvah is a lamp, because it is found in Mishlei. The Torah is also called life. I ask for deliverance, because I find myself in terrible distress. For the enemy has pursued my soul, he does not persecute my body, to smite me or to imprison me, but to divest me of my soul. He has crushed my life down to the ground, so that I am as one close to death. He has made me dwell in dark places, so I am already as one dead. In my terrible affliction, I have no way out except for you to bring me deliverance. David depicts the different kinds of persecutions to which he was subjected. For one, the enemy has pursued my soul, and they wanted to find a blemish in his lineage. Secondly, they have crushed my life down to the ground. They said that I am a rebel against the king and so deserve death. Thirdly, they have made me dwell in dark places like those eternally dead. They kept me isolated and alone like the dead, to have no brother or comrade. Pasuk 4, not this. Atev olai ruchi besuchi yishtomim li ibim. So my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. Out of the immense dread my spirit faints within me. My spirit covers itself and has retreated so far into itself that its powers do not show themselves. My heart within me is appalled by my mind's troubles. Pasuk 5, Zacharti yomim mikedem ha'gisi b'chol po'lechom ma'zeh yodecha asho chechach. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all your deeds, I will speak about the work of your hands. I am in great distress, for I do not lose hope for your merciful intervention. For I remember the days of old, and see the great acts of deliverance that you performed. I meditate on all your deeds, wondrous acts which you performed, at the exodus from Mitzrayim. I will speak about the work of your hands upon our entry into the Holy Land, the acts of deliverance in the time of Yeshua, Gideon, Shimshon, and Barak. I remember the days of old, when I was a herder of sheep, that you sought me out and had me anointed as king from among all my brothers. I meditate on all your deeds in my battle with Goliath, and I speak about the work of your hands and all the other wars that I waged against the Plishtim. Pasuk 6. Pirasti yodai elecha nafshi k'eretz hayef l'chol selam. I spread out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you, like a weird thirsty land selam. When I thought and spoke about all those things, I spread out my hands to you, I prayed for your help. My soul is like a weary and thirsty land that looks to you for rain to slake its thirst. There is no other source of hope for it. I also place my hope solely in you, always did you, will bring me deliverance. Pasuk 7. Vaheranein Yashem, kolso ruchi al taster, v'necha mimeni v'nimshalti, im yor devor, hasten to answer me, O Hashem, my spirit is spent. Do not conceal your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the pit. I am close to death, and my soul is about to depart, so hasten to answer me, O Hashem. Do not conceal your face from me to help me, lest I become like those who go down into the pit. If you conceal your presence from me, in a little while I will be reckoned with the dead who goes down into the pit. David also speaks in the name of the exiles. They cry out, hasten to answer me, O Hashem. Redeem us for in a short while my spirit is spent on account of the immense troubles of my subjugation. So do not conceal your face from me by leaving me in exile, for even if just a bit longer, my strength will fail me. I will become like those who go down into the pit and can no longer serve you at all. Pasuk 8. Hashmi'eini baboker chasteh, of kivachoba tarachti, o hudieini derech zu, eleki, elechem nesasi nafshim. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I trust. Let me know the way I am to walk, for to you have I lifted up my soul. David may have offered this prayer at night, pleading that Hashem bestow his loving kindness upon him in the morning. Or it means that the deliverance is called morning, even as distress is called evening and darkness. Let me know the way I am to walk, for to you I have lifted up my soul. I wait for you to inform me in this matter, for there is no one besides you who knows it. Another possible interpretation is that when David said, hear my prayer, he meant the evening prayer. When he said, in your faithfulness answer me, he meant the afternoon prayer. When therefore he says, here, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, he is referring to the morning prayer. David prayed that evening when traveling, he should not neglect serving Hashem through prayer. He should possess the presence of mind to put on tefillin and to daven, to pray. Thus he says, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, which refers to the morning prayer that was instituted by Avraham, who epitomized loving kindness. He specifically mentions the morning prayer, for if one prays in the morning, one will also offer the afternoon prayer as well as the evening prayer. For in you I trust, let me know the way I am to walk, so I should be spared the usual tribulations of travelers who take their lives into their hands. Save me from every foe and ambush. Pasuk 9. Hatzileni me'oyvei Hashem, elech chisisi. Save me from my enemies, O Hashem, to you I go to hide. I have concealed my troubles from all men and turn only to you. Some read Kasasi as I counted. Thus we find, you shall make my your account for the sheep. The corresponding interpretation reads, I counted the times you promised to redeem me, and I have relied on them. Save me from my enemies who blaspheme and revile. But for your glory's sake, O Hashem, to you I hide. I kept hidden their words of blasphemy and revulsion that pertain to you, but you must exact vengeance upon them for the sake of your glory. To you I hide, I have hidden in you, as it were, that you should shield me by the wings of your supervision. Save me from my enemies, O Hashem, to you I hide, who these enemies are individually, for it is known and revealed before you who they are. Pasuk 10. Lam deini lasois ritzonecho ki ato aloho yiruchacho toivotan cheni beretz mishor. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, let your good spirit guide me on level ground. If I am amiss by not meticulously keeping the mitzvah on account of persecutions, teach me to do your will. Let us know your will, so that I may perform the mitzvah's perfection. For you are my God, when I am careful in performance of your will, your spirit and your good will guide me to walk on level ground that is free of obstructions and snares. David asked, for divine instruction as regards observance of the mitzvahs between man and man, between man and Hashem. Thus he says, teach me to do your will as regards the mitzvah between man and God, for you are my God, but also let your good spirit guide me on level ground as regards the mitzvahs between man and man. For as a Chachamim teach, sages, if the spirit of man is pleased with a person, the spirit of God is pleased with him also. The most important thing is good deeds, for if one's deeds are not desirable, then even if his intentions are desirable, that amounts to nothing at all. Teach me to do your will, for you are my Hashem, your spirit is good, and you want to benefit men. Guide me on level ground, so that I have no need to walk on twisted roads. I will then be good towards heaven and towards men. He further asked of Hashem to teach him to obey his will, not because of any advantage to himself, but because you are my God, due to your godliness and greatness. I am under obligation to do your will. Let me not think that on this account I must be rewarded. Pasuk 11. For the sake of your name, O Hashem, revive me in your righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble. If I am not deserving, then you should keep me alive due to my own merit. For the sake of your name, O Hashem, revive me in your righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble. Revive me by the attribute of wisdom, and by your righteousness whereby you guide the whole world. Bring my soul out of trouble. Pasuk 12. And in your loving kindness cut off my enemies and destroy all those who distress my soul. For I am your servant, after you will have saved me. Exact vengeance upon my enemies. In your loving kindness cut off my enemies and destroy all those who distress my soul. David refers first to his famed enemies and then talks about his other foes. For I am your servant, but they are not your servant, so it is fitting that you should act with loving kindness towards me, and then cut off. Why do they distress my soul? It is because I am your servant. Now we're coming to chapter 144, Pasuk 1. The David Baruch Hashem, Suriya Melamed Yodai, Akruv Esbosa Lamil Chomom, Psalm of David, blessed be Hashem, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war. In the present psalm, David is thankful to Hashem for having given him the strength to wage war against his enemies. Since one must prepare for war by training the hands and by planning strategy, he says, blessed be Hashem, my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. Battle, Korah refers to the field, a battle where warriors meet at close quarters to combat one another. My fingers for war, which includes the arm as well, thus it says, and it will be a sign for you upon your hand. Pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos, which refers to the hand filling that I put on the upper arm. According to the Targum, the Pasuk reads, who trains my hands for the arrangements of battle, and my fingers for charging into battle. Prior to any war, the implements of war are arranged in a set pattern, and then follows the war or battle. David was always taken up with Torah study, and so was not skilled in the use of weapons, as he tells Shaul in Shmuel Aleph. Accordingly, he thanks Hashem for training my hands for battle and my fingers for war. He also alludes here to his victory over the lion and the bear, which he perceived as a sign for victory over Goliath. Thus he says, who trains my hands for battle with the lion and the bear and my fingers for war. Some say that David composed the present psalm after Hashem had given him rest bout from all his enemies, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis. This followed his victory over the Plishtim, and after he had safely come through the many wars waged by the people of Israel, he specifically mentions his battle against Goliath and gives thanks to Hashem for making him the victor. In contrast to his victory over Goliath, whom he vanquished without a sword or spear, but with the fingers of his hands, he says here, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. Concerning his victory over Goliath, David goes on to say, who subdues my people under me? This will be in the next pasuk. This alludes to what Goliath the Plishtim had said, behold, I am a Plishtim, and you are servants to Shaul. Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. Again, this is found in Shmuel Aleph. David's victory thus saved all of Israel. It was as if all of his people were fighting under him within his body, whether towards deliverance or the opposite.